I'm reading from Mark 8, 27 to 33. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind on divine things, but on human things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joyce. Last night we had a simple gathering of family, extended family, and it wasn't a big gathering at all, just family, and for my 60th birthday. And one is aware, of course, at this time in our country that families are, you know, spread throughout the world. And so there were people, family in Australia, family in England that couldn't be here. But we had this gathering, and one of the things that Angela did last night was to talk about what life was like in South Africa in 1966. And that was interesting. She delved into a lot of areas. The one that gave everyone a shock was that petrol was 15 cents a litre. Imagine that, 15 cents a litre. And I've been reflecting since then, and particularly because of the theme today, because Angela also spoke about how the country had changed, and of course that was deep apartheid, and now things are so different. I've been thinking about how the church has changed, and much has changed in the space of Christianity. A lot of falling away, you know, Christianity has shrunk a lot. Over the last 40 years, I've seen within our own denomination and within this area, if you just go on with Fifth Street churches that have closed and so on. So a lot has changed. But the way in which Christianity is, and one of the reasons why it shrinks, became a passion, of course, for my life, and the reason why I wrote the book, Missing Jesus, Finding the Shepherd We lost. And I've been reflecting on that just as I take us into the message, and thought that would be one or two good just introductory reflections to get a sense of where we've come, and that things are changing, not always for the better, and to be aware of something of a crisis within our faith. Back in the 1980s, I was a teenager and involved with the youth of our church. And we worked very much as a circuit in those years. And so you were able to get to know the other ministers in the circuit. And we had a particular minister. I was growing up in the Quigney in East London. We had a minister at Nahoon who was part of the circuit, Reverend Steve, I'm not going to say his surname for now. And He was somebody who was very, very conscious of the socio-political reality of our country at the time. Reverend Steve was a very capable, an amazing, thoughtful person, and was involved with IDASA, the Institute for the Democratic Alternative in South Africa. And he had one circuit gathering of the youth, teenagers, 1980s, white suburbia, where he said, for those who were interested, let me tell you about what's happening to black people in our country. And that was the topic. And he spoke about the Land Act, and he spoke about the Group Areas Act. I still remember a map he had up for us to look at. And it was the first time I was seeing this reality. The doors of the hall were open, looking at the driveway and the garden of the church, because we were aware that it could happen that the security police would come to this little gathering. It was a very important moment in my youth, conscientizing me, making me aware. But what he was also very passionate about and what we reflected on is how is the church responding to this reality? You know, how is the church responding to apartheid? And this was white suburbia, which was very inward-looking, narrow-looking, insular. And as much as we might talk about the church struggle, you know, and think the church struggled hard against apartheid, it was not really that way. There were a few people who struggled hard, but certainly in white suburbia, ministers were not popular if they spoke about those kinds of things. The popular ones were the ones that ignored it and were known for their humor or something else. But Rev Steve was different, and he made us aware of how the church was irrelevant to what was going on in society at the time. He was determined that he could play his part on us being relevant. And what happened within him was that the irrelevance of the church got so much, hurt him so much, that he actually left the church. And as far as I can gather, he actually left the faith, left the Christian faith completely, stopped believing because of this persistent irrelevance, insular nature. Now, I could tell you many stories that are like Reverend Steve. Not only ministers who've left the church and even the faith because of the irrelevance of Christianity, but lay people as well, members of churches who are passionate about what's going on in society and the need to be relevant and the need to be on the solution side of things, and just find the church is not a place with like-minded people. On the other hand, I have known over the years Christians and ministers who are very committed to Christian identity and will hold on to the church and the Christian faith, but for whom what that means for them is holding to certain traditions and dogmas and beliefs, holding firmly to those, regardless of if they're irrelevant. They might have been things that are relevant in a previous era. There might be beliefs that made sense in a previous era, in a previous worldview. But in what we know about life now, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't change their view. They hold on to it. Some of them very nice people, but completely irrelevant to the social realities and what we know about life now. Nice people, but if ever they share their views, people say, you believe that? I mean, that doesn't even make sense anymore. It's just gobbledygook. It might have had made sense, but it's like now a fossil of something that was previously maybe made sense, but no longer makes sense. Some of them not so nice people, I want to say. Because for some, the prejudices of a previous era, they hold on to. And they believe that the prejudices of a previous era must be almost immortalized. And so they live out those prejudices in God's name, in Jesus' name, in Christianity's name. They're not such nice people at all. Now, known many ministers and people like that also. So, what I'm saying though, can we just appreciate for a moment, isn't something out there, but it's in here. It's in here. Each of us leans a certain way. And can you reflect for a moment, which way do you lean? Do you lean towards the importance of the relevance, that's the ultimate thing? And if it actually means one day you've got to let go of the church identity, Christianity, the faith, in order to be relevant, you'll actually end up doing that. You don't want to, but relevance is all important. Others lean the other way. They'll never leave the faith. They'll never leave the Christian identity. But if it means they become increasingly irrelevant and nonsensical, so be it. Because that's the way they lean. Which way are you leaning? Which way am I leaning? Are the two meant to be opposite to each other? When Peter answers Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? When Peter answers and says, you are the Messiah, and Jesus affirms him for that decision, you've got to read between the lines to see that in Mark, that Jesus affirms the decision. In Matthew and Luke, it's clear Jesus affirms the decision. When Jesus accepts this title, Messiah, we must not think of it. We make a big mistake if we think of it as a static title. You know, other titles of Jesus might feel a bit more static. King, you know, is about the rule. Shepherd is about care. The title Messiah is a title that has direction in it. It's a title that is forward focused. The Messiah is the one who shares the God-given vision of where we are meant to be going, and the one who, if we follow, will make sure we get there. That is what Messiah means. It's a dynamic, not a static title. In fact, you cannot be Messiah if you do not have people following in the direction you're going. Just like you can't be a leader if nobody is following you. You know, somebody might say they're a leader, but if nobody's following them, they're not actually a leader. The leader is defined that people are following. The Messiah is defined by people are following. So it's up to us to fulfill the title that we give to Jesus, that he's a Messiah. And how do we do that? We are clear. We do it by being clear. What is the future he's leading us to? It's a very this-worldly title. The title of Messiah is a socio-economic, political, you know, reality about how this world should be and how followers can help us to get there. Co-creating with this Jesus who is with us by his Spirit, co-creating the future vision that he has given to us. When Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" the disciples respond with, you know, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say the prophets. All things of the past. John the Baptist, recent past. Elijah, distant past. Prophets in between, in the past. You know, is he a past figure come alive again? No. He's future focused, not past. And he's leading people in that direction. And so Reverend Steve was right to be playing a role to get us to see where we're falling short in society and how can we be part of the solution. He was right to be exploring, as the title of Idasa said, you know, a democratic alternative for South Africa. He was right. But where he fell short was to miss that it's particularly as a follower of Jesus one's meant to be doing that. It's not an either or. Either I'm involved in social causes or I'm a person of faith. But it's as a follower of Jesus, who is the Messiah, that I am working towards what are the next steps needed for the transformation of society. And that's how one holds the two together, both the Christian identity and the relevance are held together if we understand Jesus as Messiah. If we understand Jesus as Messiah, the one who is leading us and inviting us to follow, the one who wants a reflection of that desired future to become clearer and clearer and clearer in this world. As we participate with Jesus, who is the hope of the world, as we participate with Jesus in turning this reality that we live in now into something a little bit more like the future the Messiah is leading us into, then people will say, God is good. Then people will say, there is indeed hope in Jesus. But to the extent that Jesus is something that's pretty much irrelevant, nobody's going to say, God is good, there's hope. This is so much the core of our faith, and many have missed it. One doesn't have to give up on the faith to be relevant. One just needs to know that one's following the Messiah. So if you're anything like me, you know, you get excited about a vision for the future of how things can be better than they are. You sense the warm glow of moving towards a better future. It's attractive and you feel energized. We imagine the road forward bright with possibility. And who wouldn't want to sign up for that? But it's perhaps to people like me that Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Why would he say that? Because for some of us who are attracted to this future, we get caught up with how this is going to be good. And we end up settling for essentially a human solution that keeps our comfort, keeps our status, keeps our ease intact. And if one is going to settle for that which is comfortable in following the Messiah, I'm going to say this again. If one is going to settle for that which is comfortable in the following of the Messiah, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And immediately talks to us, as he spoke to Peter, about suffering, about rejection, about execution, and then resurrection. All four important, and all four, the order is important too. We won't get to the future if we don't embrace the cost of following the Messiah. It's the hinge on which the correct journey to the future pivots. Because the stark reality is that there are vested interests in how things are. There are people getting very rich out of how things are in the world right now. There are people whose status is dependent on things staying just as they are. There are people whose power is in place in the dynamics as just things are now. And you oppose that at your peril. I mean, let me put it this way, and I don't think I need to give specifics for you to understand this. We know Johannesburg is in an absolute mess as a city. An absolute mess. Everybody seems to know that. But don't presume, just because everybody knows that things are in a mess, that it's going to change. Because you challenge the present status at your peril. There are many people who are getting very rich just the way things are. There are many people whose power and status is dependent on things staying just the way things are. There is organized crime that is completely entrenched in the way Joburg is as Joburg is now. They're not going to let you just change things. And until you and I take ownership for the future of Johannesburg and are willing to pay the price, whatever that may be, to take ownership of the future of Johannesburg, until that happens, don't expect much change. And don't keep just blaming others for the way things are. Because it takes those doing the wrong and those who leave those who are doing the wrong alone for things to persist. So I think you can see how the crisis of relevance in the church and Christian faith is linked to the crisis of identity. The two are linked. Often, where relevance is found, then identity gets called into question. Where identity is found, then relevance gets called into question. To avoid those two crises in the world today of the Christian faith, the crisis of relevance and the crisis of identity, to avoid that, we have to take to heart that which is at the core of our faith, that Jesus is the Messiah, leading us into the future, requiring us to follow a path that is a costly path. And in doing so, not only do we as individuals change for the better, but our society will as well. Amen.